Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened? That you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Seems at first glance Jesus is saying something surprising in today's Gospel. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. It almost seems at first glance that God's love is conditioned on our loving God first. And we know that that's not in harmony with what, for example, St. Paul will say throughout his letters. That God loved us even while we were still sinners. That God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that we might not perish. God, of course, loves us first. But at the same time, the way that we're able to experience that love, the way that we're able to receive it, is totally dependent on our opening ourselves to get it through our reciprocated love of the Lord. That's what we were talking about on Saturday at the Day of Recollection with the whole thing of consecration in this year for consecrated life. We enter into Jesus' consecration, his consecrating himself for us and for our sanctification through his holy word. But the amount of grace we'll receive, the intensity of our participation in Jesus' consecration is through the intensity of our own. We've got to open ourselves up in order to be able to receive the fruits that God gives us. So that's why Jesus says what he says. He'll reveal himself all the more to the one who opens herself up to receive that gift of love that comes from God. The greatest love of all that we can give to God is to let him love us. And it's in that receptivity that we're loving him back in the greatest way of all. In words that not the birds have chirped, but William Byrd has made famous in his great motet, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and the Father and the Son will come and make their dwelling place within us." That's what we do when we open ourselves up to the love of God and want to let that will that he has of loving us become the principal commentary in our life. To do this, though, is more challenging morally than it is conceptually. For us to really love the Lord, we just want what he wants. Pope Benedict used to always say, real love is idem vole, idem nole. That it's wanting the same things as the one who's beloved. That it's rejecting the same things that the beloved rejects. It begins by wanting to do the Lord's will. If we really love the Lord, it's simply thy will be done. Not thy will be done with a clenched fist and some tightened teeth. But it's thy will be done in a sense that we're excited to see him pleased. Just as Jesus himself would say, my will is to please God. So there's a joy in doing the Lord's will. In the first reading today, we see two aspects of loving the Lord, keeping our end of that covenant of love, which Jesus has sealed in his blood, that we've got to embrace. First is, we've got to be humble. How easy it would have been for Paul and Barnabas, after in two places there in Galatia, having been kicked out of town and almost stoned to death, how easy it would have been after the miracle of this crippled man in Lystra and Derbe for them to have appreciated not only gratitude, but worship. Barnabas was being called Zeus and Paul was being called Hermes. After all that they had suffered, we could cut them a little bit of slack if they said, bring it on. But they didn't, because it was all about God. And so they immediately started to bring the glory back to God, talking about, even though they had just brought the revelation of Jesus Christ to them, how God had always loved them. You turn from the idols that you're trying to make of us and of others to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that's in them, and essentially gave them to you. He bestowed his goodness. He didn't leave you without witness. He gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons. He filled you with nourishment and gladness for your hearts. They were constantly trying to bring them to experience that what they had just done there was one greater instance of the love of God. And it takes great humility for us to want to see God praised rather than for us to receive a little bit of the adulation that'll pick up our self-esteem. Non nobis domine, non nobis. Sed nomine tuo da gloriam, as we said in the responsorial psalm today. Not us, O Lord, not us, but to your name give the glory. Are we humble enough to really want God to get it all, for us to decrease so that God will increase? That's the path of real love for the Lord, where we begin to lose ourselves in our self-definition as the one who loves the Lord that much. The second is, we need to recognize that the way God loves us is he prunes us. We talked about that yesterday in pondering the vine and the branches, that the Father prunes all those he loves. And pruning isn't fun for a vine, and it's not fun for us. And we see the pruning he was doing out of love for Paul and Barnabas. In Antioch and Pisidia, they were run out of town. These other cities in Iconium, run out of town. We're going to see tomorrow in the same place where they had just worked this miracle of the cripple, that they're going to stone Paul and basically kill him. He was dead. It's going to be raised from the dead tomorrow by the prayers of the early church. What a very difficult pruning that was. But God the Father, through this suffering, was helping them to love his will ever more, to love it even when it's challenging, to love it when it goes against the grain. We're able to show our love for others through the sacrifice we're willing to make. And Paul and Barnabas were being given the shot day after day after day to sacrifice even their lives for God. And in that process, they were not only loving the Lord more, but opening themselves up wide for the Father to love them back, for the Son to love them back and enter in. For this whole process to take place, for us really to love the Lord as he deserves, so that we can experience the full depth of God's love for us since before the foundation of the world and since before we were even conceived in our mother's wombs. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about this at the end of the first reading today, at the end of the gospel today. I've told you this while I'm with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. Will teach you how to love the Lord. Remind you of all that I've told you, so that my word may remain in you, so that you may actually do my commandments. It's the Holy Spirit who transforms us, and the chief work of the Holy Spirit is what? Should we call on Sister Claudia? The chief work of the Holy Spirit is what? I didn't hear that, Sister Claudia. What is it?
Formation.
Well, okay, we can work with it. Chief work of the Holy Spirit is changing us, transforming us from the inside out so that we might be confident, much loved and loving sons and daughters of the Eternal Father who cry out, Abba, Daddy. And once we're able to do that, we want the Father to be praised. We want him to be pleased. We want what he wants. Idem vole, idem nole. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to do precisely this, because that is not only the path of the Father's pleasure, it's the path in which the Father's joy, the Father's life, and the Father's love might be brought to perfection within us. Today we come here to this chapel not to sacrifice oxens and garlands. We come here to sacrifice ourselves out of love for the one who sacrificed himself for us. We come here to keep his commands. And the commandment to which the church has been most faithful over the course of the time is the one in which Jesus said, do this in memory of me. As we do it out of love for the Lord, we receive the greatest means of divine love for us, as the Son, united to the Father and the Holy Spirit, come and make their abode within us. Today, may we not seek our own glory, but everything we do in word or in deed, may we do for the glory with which we're about to enter into communion. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.